to the book of 1 John chapter number 5, all the way to the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter number 5. Look at just a couple of verses this morning. Keep in your prayers this coming week and next week, this week and the following weekend. Pastor James and Miss Jan are celebrating their wedding anniversary, and so I trust that you'll keep them in your prayers as they have a refreshing time, and they'll be back with us very, very short order. Amen. So it's been a couple of weeks since I've been able to be here. Some of you have been sick for even longer than that, but I'm thankful that we can all gather together again today. And I hear that this week is going to be sunny, 60-some degrees, so praise the Lord. All this white stuff that John may or may not have prayed for is going to be gone. And I'm going to get some fire and burn it off the piles back behind my house. I'm going to get rid of it. I hate it. I can't stand it. I moved from Pennsylvania down here to Virginia to get away from this. Amen. And so let's be done with it. I want to put out the spring welcome to Sharon Baptist Church sign, not the snow one on there. So you be praying for us, and I'll be praying for you. All right, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions this morning. How many of you have a smartphone? Raise your hand. It's not a trick question. How many have a smartphone? All right, put your hands down. How many of you text on your cell phone or use messaging apps on the internet? Anybody? Text on your cell phone and use messaging apps on the internet. Okay, great. Put your hands down. If you do that, you know that typing with your thumb requires a totally different language than perhaps what you're used to using. So I thought this morning, as we kicked off the message this morning, I'd give you a little quiz just to see how much you are with it when it comes to text talking or talking text. So on the screen, you can take that down. I'm going to show you a word, first of all, and then when that word comes up, I want you to give me the definition. All right, here it is. What is it? All right. Next is, just keep rolling on, Brother Peter. What is that? Great. Thank you. Oh, back up. Some people don't. Roll on the floor laughing. Roll on the floor laughing. All right, Peter, again. For your information. Great. Next one. Keep in touch. Exactly. All right, next one. Talk to you later. That's right. I didn't know what that one was, but a lady that used to come to our church, it goes to another ministry now, would always put that at the end and had to ask my wife, what does that mean? She said, talk to you later. I said, oh, okay, makes sense now. All right, next one, Peter. Be seeing you. There's a smart person right there. Praise the Lord for that. All right, next one. Gotta go. All right, here's one that parents should never see on their children's phone. Put it out. That's right. Parent over shoulder, change subject. So parents, if you see POS on your children's phone, you better scroll back through and find out what they're saying. All right, here's a pretty easy one for you. Go ahead. Instant message. That's right. Thank you, Peter. You see, the internet undoubtedly has changed our communication methods. For many of us, email and texting have replaced traditional letters and phone calls as a primary means of correspondences. As a matter of fact, I oftentimes prefer a text message. That way you're not talking for 30 minutes about stuff you don't even care about, but you want to be polite and kind to the people. Amen. And so it really has changed. And every day, billions of messages are sent across the globe. And email has emerged as the most rapidly adopted form of communication in human history. Electronic communications has transformed from being a very rarity to an integral part of our daily life in just under 20 years. Think about it. It's only been 20 years that we've been doing this and sending emails. That just blows my mind. And many people discover that even quick email responses fall short in our fast-paced world. You see, emailing does offer some good advantages, but it doesn't show if the recipient is online. It doesn't show if the recipient actually received it. I can't tell you how many times that Debbie said, oh, you didn't send me this. I said, yes, I did. I sent it. Oh, it's still in my outbox. It didn't go. So that's the problem with emailing. You don't know whether they actually get it. And participating in multiple email threads at one time, such as reading and replying and sending messages, can be very cumbersome to go back and forth. Click here, double click there, click here, copy here, paste there. And that's why instant messaging has gained such enormous popularity. And here you go, if you're filling in the blank inside your bulletin, It enables you to communicate instantly online. In case I forgot to tell you, there's an outline in the bulletin that you can fill out, amen. I forgot to tell you that. We don't always do that, but we have one for the day. And so we find that instant messages enables you to communicate instantly online, and more commonly through your smartphone, with anyone that you select or anyone that you choose, provided that person is online with their computer or their cell phone within reach. You know, I like instant messages. I like being able to text people. The problem is simply this. When someone texts a dispenser, they expect an answer in like 5 seconds, you know. And I might be brushing my teeth or I might be tying my shoes. I'm not going to stop tying my shoes to answer a text. I'll get to it when I get to it. But that's the world that we live in today. And this morning, I want to share an old message in a new format. And the second blank you'll be filling in is simply this. God wants to be number one on your friend list. God wants to be number one on your friend list. Believe it or not, you can communicate instantly with the I am. If certain conditions are met and you establish the right connection, you can connect with God in real time and oftentimes even feel that connection. I think the key is revealed in two powerful verses in this little book of 1 John, particularly in chapter number 5. And so as we think about that, wouldn't you want to know when that your prayer, that when you pray that God is listening? I mean, when I pray, I want to know that God is listening. Wouldn't you want to be sure that your prayers rise above the ceiling? Wouldn't you want to be sure and know that when you pray, that your prayer is making it all the way to heaven? Well, here's the good news. The good news is simply this, that you can I am with the I am if you're willing to meet three different conditions. So let's stand this morning for the reading of God's word. We'll be reading in 1 John chapter number 5 in verses 14 through 15, and then we'll pray as we reflect on this thought of I am, capital I, capital M, with the capital I, space, capital A, capital M. Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heart before you this morning. Oh, Father, we're thankful to be once again in the house of the Lord. And, Father, as we think about this thought of I am with the I am, Lord, I pray that you would challenge the hearts of your believers out of here today. Father, some really haven't been in the right place in their life to be able to connect with you. Others, Father, maybe are here today, don't know Christ as their Savior, and they're definitely not in a place that they can connect with you. And Father, I pray that today might be the day of their salvation. They might come to understand that Jesus Christ died in their place on the cross of Calvary. He was placed in a borrowed tomb and rose again 3 days later and ascended back to you 40 days after that, Father, and now sitteth on the right hand of God the Father, making an intercession for us. So Father, I pray now that you be with each ministry going on at this time. Lord, bless them, be a help to them, give them fruit for their labor as well. If we pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, if you want to I am with the I am, I want you to notice first of all, Roman numeral number 1 on your outline. I must be confident in God's power. Notice the first part of verse number 14 of our text. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. That word confidence is a word that means freedom of speaking. It means unreserved in our speech. Initially, we find this was a political term referring to freedom to speak one's mind in a public assembly or a gathering of the government. Understand this morning that to connect with God, you must first approach him with confidence. You must be confident that God has the power not only to hear your prayer, but answer your prayer as well. Oftentimes, I've heard people say this, I'm not very good at prayer, Pastor. Don't call on me to pray out loud in church. I'm not a very good prayer. Or that perhaps they would say this, and I don't know how to pray properly, so please don't call on me. Or maybe they would say this, I don't pray very well, so I don't want to pray out loud in public. And what they mean by that is simply this. They don't pray very eloquently. They don't pray like Charles Spurgeon prayed. Perhaps they don't pray as fervently as D.L. Moody did. They don't pray with enough emotions as some people pray with. Or perhaps they mean this. They just don't express themselves in the right way. I mean, it's up here, but it doesn't come out right. And what they don't understand, and what I want you to understand this morning, is the most important part of prayer is not how eloquent our words are. It's not even how fervent as we come out in our emotions, but it's how you pray confidently. That is the most important part. In Great Britain, the House of Commons, which is similar, but not exactly the same as our Congress, they can call for a vote of no confidence in any government. And if that vote passes, that vote of no confidence passes, it triggers new elections across the country and allows people to replace one government with another government. Sometimes I think that'd be a good thing, but in other times it could be a bad thing. So we'll just keep the way that God has instituted our Constitution to be here in America. And I'm afraid our prayer, or lack thereof too, often acts as a no confidence vote in God. Listen, this morning, if you're going to connect with God, you must first have the confidence that He wants to hear and He wants to answer your prayer. There was a man many years ago by the name of George Mueller. You might know him as an evangelist. You might remember him as a missionary, but probably he's more widely known as the director of 5 different orphanages in Bristol, England. And in those 5 orphanages, he contained 3,000 young children. Many years ago, George Mueller documented, get this now, 25,000 direct answers to prayers that God had given him throughout his lifetime before he died. He stated these words, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of God's willingness to bless us." I'm reminded of the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 16, where he talks about prayer. He said this, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I think our problem is simply this, that we come very timidly before the throne of grace. We come, the Bible tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace, but yet we do not do that. Not just anyone should have this confidence to go boldly before the throne of grace. Not just anyone should have this confidence that they can connect with God. Look at verse 14 again. Verse 14 is very specific when it says this. This is the confidence that we have in Him. You may be wondering, well, Pastor Carroll, who's this we? Well, someone said this we is yourself and the mouse in your pocket, and we end up doing everything all by yourself. But literally, here, John's entire letter is written to Christians and written for Christians, because Christians are the only true children of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible has these wonderful words to say. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, because He has called us the sons," or we could say children, "of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." And the reason that you and I can be confident when we pray is because we are the children of God. You say, well, how do I become a child of God? I'm born in America. That makes me a child of God. No, I'm sorry, it does not. Being born in the physical world does not necessarily make you a child of God. It makes you a child of your father, the devil, Jesus said. How do I become a child of God? How to become a child of Christ? By putting your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you, asking to be forgiven for your sin, putting your faith in what Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary in order that we might be saved. Then and only then do we become a child of God. Do you remember when the disciples were gathering together and they asked Jesus to teach them to pray? The first thing that Jesus taught the disciples that were gathered there that day was simply this. Do you remember the wording? Our, what's the word? Father, which art in heaven. You see, Jesus was teaching the disciples that they should have the same confidence in God as a child has in their father. You see, There's two men in my life named Joshua Michael Carroll. The other one's name is Stephen Paul Carroll. And they have one thing that they have in me. They have complete confidence that if they ever need me, I will be there for them. If they have a need that I can physically meet, I'm more than happy to do so. No other men on this earth can make that claim. But it only applies to them. Why is that? Because those two are my sons. Think of it this way. When you pray, you got to have the same confidence that a child has in his father, that he will hear and answer your prayers. You see, if God is your father, and when you pray to him, you have to have that confidence that not only hears that prayer, but he'll answer that prayer. And that's how I know that I can I am with the I am, because the moment I say these words, Father, God drops everything that he's doing. He looks at me and says, Son, speak, you have my undivided attention. And that's where connecting with God really begins. It begins with confidence in God's power and his ability to hear, but thank God as well to answer your prayers. Well, not only should I be confident in God's power, but notice something else this morning. Notice I must be committed to God's purpose. Committed to God's purpose. John goes on to explain the type of confidence. He says you got to have confidence, but then he gives the type of confidence. Notice the last part of verse 14. He says that if we ask anything according to his, what's the word? Will, he heareth us. Someone said this, God will never answer any prayer outside of his will. But he will answer every prayer inside his will. God will never answer a prayer outside of his will, but he will always answer a prayer inside his will. And that tells us something. It tells us to pray in the will of God. We've got to seek the will of God so we can know the will of God, that we might be able to do the will of God. All three of those steps are necessary in this matter of praying. To do the will of God, you have to know the will of God. To know the will of God, you're going to have to seek the will of God. And you can't do what you're supposed to do unless you know what you're supposed to do. And you can't know what you're supposed to do until you seek out what you're supposed to do. But guess what? With God, it gets even deeper than that. You can't know his will until you are willing to do his will. I'm convinced today that most people in our independent Baptist churches today don't even understand the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to get our will done in heaven. It's to get God's will done on earth. And by the way, do you know why you should always desire the will of God for your life? Because God, he wants to give you what you ask for, provided you're wise enough to ask in his will to bring those things to pass. Just last week, I was thinking about prayer, and I realized I'm very grateful for two different kinds of prayer. I'm grateful for the prayers that God has answered in my life. And I wish I could say, if I've written down all the prayers that God has answered, I wish I could be like George Mueller and go back and look. And some of you keep prayer journals, and that's a wonderful thing, a great time of encouragement as you go back and see how God worked in your life, and God moved, and God provided, and God worked, and that's a wonderful thing. But in some ways, I'm even more grateful this morning for the prayers that God did not answer that I raised up to him. Can I just be honest with you this morning? If God had answered every prayer that I have ever prayed and given me everything that I have desired and petitioned of him, I'd be in a big mess today. But not only me, also you as well. And as hard as it is to believe by faith, get this, God is best at knowing what is best. God is best at knowing what is best for our life. And that is why we should always do everything possible to ensure that our requests, our petitions to him, align with his will for our life. I know the question you might be thinking, well, Pastor Carroll, that sounds good, but how do I know the will of God? Well, because you thinking this because you can't pray according to the will of God if you don't know the will of God. Perhaps you could pray something like this: God, if it be your will, would you bring this to pass? But let me give you some good news. Turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Keep your finger there. We'll be back. All the way back a few books. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse number 9. There's some good news in this matter of knowing God's will for our life. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, says this: "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Boy, if someone were to write you an IM or an email and say that, I'd be shouting it out. I'd be jumping for joy. I'd be thanking God. "And to desire that ye might be," notice the next part, "filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You see, get this. God is more willing for you to know his will, or his will is, than you are probably to know it. God has a great desire for you to know what his perfect will is for your life. We don't have a heavenly Father who plays spiritual cat and mouse with us. He doesn't play hide and seek with his will. He doesn't treat us like an Easter egg. We have to go out and find it. It's hidden in the grass somewhere to try to find. I think he's given us two primary ways for us to know what his will is. If you're taking notes, first of all, we have the Word of God. I told you before, and I'll say it repeatedly over and over again, that the majority of the will of God for your life, you know where it's found? Right here in the Word of God. I never make major decisions in my life without asking God to show me from his Word what his perfect will is. You see, if I find it in there, I know that I'm on the right track, because I can be fooled by friends and I can be fooled by my flesh, but you never could be fooled by the honesty, truth of the Word of God. And so the majority of God's will for your life can be found in the Word of God. And if you're seeking God for a decision in your life right now that you need to make in your life, the first thing you ought to do is turn to the Word and see what God has to say about that particular situation. And then when you find out what it is, oftentimes there's not much praying about it, because it's clearly laid out black and white for you. For instance, the Word of God is not going to tell you whom that you ought to marry. And it's going to say, you got to go marry Steve, you got to go marry Sally. It's not going to say that. But guess what? The Bible does tell you whom you should never marry: a non-Christian. Just like the Word of God doesn't dictate to you what you should watch on the television set, or what movie you ought to watch, or what music that you ought to hear. But it does indicate which music and movies that you should avoid, so you shouldn't let your eyes linger on evil or your ears tune into evil. To help us to know God's will, we not only have the Word of God, but then notice there's something else. We have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 27, Paul writes these wonderful words: "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You see, God hasn't put us here on earth without a spiritual compass. He didn't put us here without a spiritual compass to show us what true north is, what is right and pure and honest in the things of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God, who will take the Word of God and with the counsel of godly people help us to make good decisions. Remember, you're never going to know God's will until you're willing to do it. You're never going to know what God's will is until you're willing to do it. In John 7 and verse 17, the Savior said, "If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." I want you to consider this. Why should God spend time revealing what his specific will is for your life in any given situation if he already knows you're not going to follow the direction he gives you? You see, God isn't like a cafeteria. There's not too many cafeterias here, I don't think. There used to be one at the old down north place, whatever it was. That's it. Used to be one there. But when I was down in South Carolina, we used to go to K&W Cafeteria almost after every Sunday morning service. And you go through line, you can say, I want this, and I want that, and you want that, and you want that. Next thing you know, you're like, honey, can you put this on your tray? I don't have enough room on my tray. You pick and you choose. But understand this, God's will isn't like the K&W Cafeteria. You can't simply just pick and choose what you want to do. You can't say, God, I'm going to follow this part, but not this part. I'm going to follow this part of your will, but not this part. If you want to understand God's will in one area of your life, you must also ensure that you're lined up in all the other areas of your life. Otherwise, there's going to be a disruption in your connection with God. And God is not obligated to reveal to you. Well, not only should I be confident in God's power, I must be committed to God's purpose. But then notice lastly, I must be convinced of God's promises. I must be convinced of God's promises. In verse number 15, that word no is used on two different occasions. Thinking something is true is just an opinion. Think about that. Thinking something is true is just an opinion. But knowing something is true is a conviction. And we can be convinced of two things when it comes to prayer. First of all, God will respond to our prayers. Verse 15 says this, and if we know that he hear us. That word hear encompasses more than simply just listening. It implies the act of not only receiving it, but acting on what he hears. So understand this morning that when God hears our prayers, he responds to it. He responds to our prayer. He acts on our prayers. I want you to understand this morning, there's a misnomer among many Christians today. There's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Instead, God always answers prayer in different ways. Don't ever say, God hasn't answered my prayer. You are not speaking biblical truth when you say that. We just read the verses. That cannot be true. Get that out of your thinking. I think, first of all, God's answer sometimes is direct. It sometimes is direct. Listen to this amazing verse in Isaiah 65 and verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now think about this verse for a moment. I think this verse is listed for you on your outline sheet. You could go back and look at it. And it says this, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Glory to God, amen. And listen, God says, before you even ask me, I'm going to answer it. And while you're yet speaking, I'm going to hear it. Listen, if that be you and I, that's backwards our thinking. We wouldn't think that way. We'd say, go ahead and ask me. Go ahead and ask me. You want $20? You ask me and I'll give you $20. God says, hey, he said, before you call, I'm giving you the answer. And while you're yet speaking that, I'm still hearing it. Wow, that's amazing to me. Sometimes God answers prayers immediately. As the pastor tells the story about his daughter had a tumor right behind one of her eyes. And two different scans had shown that the tumor was there, and one as recently as the Friday before that Sunday in church. Several of the men gathered together around the pastor's daughter, anointed her with oil, laid hands on her, and they prayed for her. The next morning, as they scheduled to go to surgery that Monday morning, the doctors did one last scan, and guess what? The tumor was gone. And I believe with all my heart that God had already answered that prayer before those men on that day, that Sunday, lifted that prayer up. I'm telling you, it was a direct answer to prayer. I've seen that same thing happen to a lady by the name of Miss Ann in Pennsylvania. I'm in the hospital, scheduled to do a surgery, and they did one last scan. Well, guess what happened? The power blanked out at the hospital. The emergency generators came back on, and the doctor said, I'm going to do one more scan because I don't know if that one was correct. Guess what happened? There was no tumor there. It was completely gone. What are you saying? I'm simply saying there was a direct answer to prayer that day. Sometimes it's direct, but then guess what? Sometimes God's answer is delayed. Isaiah 30 and verse 18 tells us this. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he will may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. You see, there are times when God may want the same thing that you want. You want to be healed. You want the tumor removed. But guess what? God's timing is not our timing. So God simply says, I'm not going to give you a direct answer to your prayer. I'm going to give you a delayed answer to the prayer. There was an article in a Christian magazine a couple of years ago. It tells a story about a teenage girl who prayed every night that her parents would let her take the family car to the mall with three or four of her girlfriends. And if you ever have been there as a first-time parent, you know what the parents are thinking. So one day, the parents finally agreed that she could take the car with her friends and go to the mall on Saturday. The night before, her parents came to the girl and said, you know, honey, I'm sorry, but Mom needs the car to run an errand on Saturday to another part of town. You're going to have to wait one more week to take your girlfriends to the mall. Of course, the teenager is heartbroken. She already had promised her friends they could go to the mall and have a wonderful time there. They waited so long for her parents to give her permission. Guess what happened? The following day, there was a massive accident occurred on the highway right in front of the mall. It was a 20-car pileup. And perhaps she may or may not have been involved in the accident. But upon hearing the news, the young teenager was thankful that God took one extra week to answer that prayer for her to go to the mall with her children. We see sometimes it's direct, sometimes it's delayed, but then notice something else. Sometimes the answer to prayer is different. You know, it's interesting how that we think what we might want, but God's will doesn't always line up what God knows is best for us. You know, so God may give us a different answer he knows is best for us. And I don't have any definitive examples for this, but oftentimes we pray, God, there's this house that I want to purchase. And God, I know it's the house that you have for me. But you know what? You pray and pray and pray, and God doesn't give you permission to buy that. Maybe God says, you know what? That's not the house for you. Here's a different answer to that problem. And then lastly, we find our prayers are sometimes direct, they're delayed and different. And notice sometimes this. Sometimes the answer is a denial. You know, as much as we don't like that, we don't like to be denied our prayers. There are times when God just says no. But keep in mind, even no is an answer to prayer. So listen, I don't want to hear anyone ever say again, God doesn't answer my prayer. Because God always answers our prayers. Even when God says no, it's not that God is being mean to us. He's not being an ogre. He's saying, listen, I'm in charge of your life and this is what's best. God always knows what's best for our life. There are two ways that a father can be good to his children. He can be good to them by what he allows them to do, but then also what he doesn't allow them to do. And be thankful that God doesn't always give you everything that you want. We also know the one thing, that God will reward our prayers. Look at the last part of verse 15. We know that we had the petitions that we desire of him. Let's face it. Most of the time, we don't meet those three conditions, and that's why our prayer lives are so weak. We don't get answered to prayers because we don't meet the conditions for God to answer prayers. I heard about a bar one time that was being built in the town that had previously been a dry town. In opposition to the bar, a group of Christians began to meet for an all-night prayer meeting and began asking God to do something to prevent its completion. And while they were praying that night, guess what happened? Lightning struck the bar and burned it completely to the ground while it was under construction. The bar owners heard about the church praying, filed a lawsuit against the church, claiming that the church was responsible for the bar's destruction because they prayed that the bar would be destroyed. What did the church do? They hired a lawyer and refused to accept any blame for what had happened to that bar. Upon hearing the case, the judge remarked, "I have a sorrowful observation to share. Regardless of this case's outcome, one fact stands out. The bar owners believe in prayer, while the church does not." How sad that is. As we close this morning, you can connect with God. He's the I am with the I am. But remember this, to connect with God, you're going to have the right connection. And that connection is none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14 in verse number 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." See, without Jesus Christ, there is no connection with the I Am. There is no connection with the Heavenly Father. Because of Christ's cross, we can I Am with the I Am. Let me ask you this question this morning, a very pointed question. Are you connected with the I Am? Has there been a time in your life when you repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, today's the day. Quit fooling around. Receive Christ as your Savior. And then if you're here today and you say, "Well, Pastor Carroll, I am connected with the I Am." Are you confident in God's power? Are you confident in His power not only to hear your prayer, but answer your prayer as one of His children? Are you committed to God's purpose? Again, remember this, you must be willing to do what God's will is before God reveals it to you. And thirdly, are you convinced of God's promise that He will hear and answer your prayer, even if it's not the answer that you desire? The truth of the matter is, you can instant message with the I Am. Father, we thank You for the Word of God this morning. We thank You for the simple truth from the book of 1 John. And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Oh, Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that are not connected with You. Father, they're of their father, the devil. But Father, they don't have to remain that way. They can become a born-again child of God by placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray that today would be the day that they receive Christ. Father, for Your church, those that are connected with the great I Am, those who have received Christ as their Savior, help them to be confident in Your power. Help them, Father, to be committed to Your purpose. Help them to be convinced of God's promises. Oh, Father, would You work in the lives and hearts of Your people that are here today? We pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Let's